If you would, take your Bible with me this morning and turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. I'll be beginning in verse 35 here in just a moment. At the end of Matthew, in his Gospel, Matthew 28, we have some of the last words of Jesus where he says, "Go and make disciples." But it's interesting that long before he tells these men to go and make disciples, long before he does that, he calls them to follow him. And as we this morning consider who is Jesus from the Gospel of John, as we continue to look at this, we need to understand that Jesus is the one who calls us to follow him. And being called to follow Jesus comes with a great commitment on our part. There was a hen and a pig, and they were approaching a church, and they saw the sign advertising the sermon topic for that day. What can we do to help the poor? And immediately the hen suggests, "Hey, I know we can do to help the poor. Let's feed them bacon and eggs." And the pig thought for a moment and says, "There's only one thing wrong with your idea. Feeding them bacon and eggs to the poor is one thing wrong with that. For you, it requires only a contribution. For me, it requires total commitment." And as we look at this idea of following Jesus, are we the chicken or the pig? See, salvation is free, but truly, truly following Jesus will cost us our life. Are we willing to humbly come before him, come before Jesus as a blank slate, and allow him to direct our life as we choose to passionately follow him in whatever that may look like for our lives? In today's passage, we're going to look briefly at some men who chose this. They chose to passionately follow Jesus, and they had no idea what that meant. And I challenge you this morning, I challenge myself this morning, to consider their example as we look at this together. So let's read the first part of this narrative in John chapter 1, and beginning in verse 35. "Again, the next day, John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked by and said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God.' The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. And Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, 'What do you seek?' And they said to him, 'Rabbi,' which translated means teacher, 'where are you staying?' He said to them, 'Come and you will see.' So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour." So first, as we look at this idea of following Jesus, we have this example here of John the Baptist in verse 35. John the Baptist is here, and he sees Jesus, and he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God." We looked last week at John the Baptist a little bit from earlier in John chapter 1, and we saw that his goal of ministry was to raise up Jesus, was to proclaim Jesus. And so as Jesus comes by, he tells his followers, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And suddenly, these disciples, these followers of John, they decide, "Well, John, it was nice hanging out with you, but we're going to go start following Jesus." And so they leave John, and they go to him. And this must have been very humbling for John. These were likely two of his best disciples, his best followers, men that he had invested in, and now they are gone, and they leave to follow Jesus. But we need to understand something about John the Baptist. John the Baptist wasn't trying to produce followers of himself. He wasn't trying to get people to come follow him. He really was trying to point people to who Jesus was. The increase of Jesus in his ministry was the goal of John the Baptist. See, for John, he understood who he was, and he understood who Jesus was. And so he had no issue sending these two men to pursue something that was greater than himself. And we think of being followers of Jesus, we need to understand where our identity is from. You see, and I think that sometimes we get lost in our identity, and we identify in things that really don't matter. And for John, he understood his identity. For us, sometimes we get lost. We identify, "Hey, you know, I'm a Baptist. I'm a a Southern Baptist. I'm a member of this church, and my identity becomes in these things. Sometimes we identify with a leader, and we have some person that becomes really important in our life, and we begin to be a follower of that person. And if that person says something, it just must be true because that person said it, and they become the super important person in our life. And for these followers of John, they could have been like that. And for John, he could have been like that. But he says, look, it's not about me. And his followers knew it wasn't about them. It was about who Jesus was. And it's so important for us to understand that we are called to be followers of Jesus. Our identity must always be in Christ. It is him who we follow. We don't follow a church. We don't follow a belief system. We don't follow a ministry. We follow the person of Jesus. And we have to know that. And John the Baptist understood this. His identity was in Christ. And because it was, he had no problem sending these men to go follow Jesus. And this is what they do. They go and they follow him. One is identified as Andrew. The other one, we don't know him by name here, but we almost certainly know this is John, who's the author of the gospel here. He doesn't mention himself by name in his own gospel, but he refers to himself, and here is one of those times. And so these men, they leave, and they go follow Jesus, and they don't really know who Jesus is. They just know that they need to go follow this person. And John says, behold, the Lamb of God. And so they go, and they follow him, not really sure what this is even going to mean. This is before they left everything to go follow him. And so they do this, and Jesus turns, and he sees these guys following them, and he says, what do you seek? And they have the slightest idea what they seek. I can just see them getting this question, and if you've been at a point where somebody asks you a question, you have no idea what the answer is. I think this is them right here. What are you seeking? They say, we don't really know. And so what is their response? They don't really answer the question. They say, Rabbi, where are you staying? Where are you staying? I don't know what I seek, but where are you going? They probably didn't know what to say. They probably didn't know how to answer this question, but they knew something. They wanted to be with Jesus. They wanted to be where he was. They wanted to talk with him. They wanted to get to know him. And so Jesus takes them to where he is staying, and he invites them to stay with him. And we don't really know what conversation happened. We don't really know what they talked about. We don't know how long they really spent together. But we do know this, that John and Andrew, they walked away convinced that Jesus was the Messiah. He was the coming one. He was the promised one of the Old Testament. They, at that moment, they truly became followers of Jesus. In their hearts, at this point, they committed to him. And they had no idea what this was going to mean for their life. They had no idea what the future hold, but they knew that God had called them. And God called them where they were, and God changed their lives, and God does that for us. If we follow him, if we become followers of Jesus, God will take us where we are and doesn't leave us where we are and changes us in ways that we can't even imagine. But it starts with that commitment to him. The commitment never changes. What God does in our life may change, but the commitment never does. We may not always know what it means, but the commitment to follow him is the same. Whatever he leads will go. And so we learn in this passage from John the Baptist and from Andrew and from John, the author of this gospel, that if you truly want to follow Jesus, then it must be about Jesus. It's not about us. It's about who he is. Truly committed to him. See, we can come to church and sit here every day and not be true followers of Jesus. We can say a prayer of conversion, and we can maybe have some salvation and fire insurance, but not truly be everyday followers committed to Jesus. We can be involved in ministries, and we can do lots of good things and not truly be committed followers of Jesus. And so as we continue throughout this sermon and looking at what this means, I'm going to ask you to consider, are you really living a life pursuing Jesus, pursuing him? And as we see the importance of pursuing Jesus, we're going to see that for these men, it wasn't just about pursuing Jesus for themselves, but Jesus was so important that they wanted to bring others along with as they pursued Jesus. And so let's look at the narrative as it continues in verse 40. It says, one of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He found first his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which translated means Christ. And he brought him to Jesus, and Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. The next day he purposed to go into Galilee, and he found Philip. And Jesus said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, of the city of Andrew and Peter. And Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael said to him, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" And Philip said to him, "Come and see." We don't always know why Jesus calls us. Sometimes we see Jesus calling people for really significant purposes. We looked at this here a few weeks ago where we saw Jesus calling out the Apostle Paul, and he says, "Saul, Saul," and he had that miraculous conversion experience, and we saw that God had a purpose for him, and he called him to be this great missionary to the Gentiles. We don't always know. We don't always know who we're going to contact or what ministry that we're going to do. And sometimes it may not be really great things, but sometimes God calls us just because he simply has this purpose for us. Andrew. We see Andrew in this passage here, and he seems to be really a person of limited gifts. But we see this in Scripture, that he has a knack of bringing people to Jesus. Here in this passage, he brings Simon Peter, and you might recognize that name Peter and know a whole lot about what Peter did. And in John 6, when Jesus was getting ready to feed the crowd, it was Andrew who brings the little boy and the fish and the loaves. And in John 12, you have some Greeks who want to see Jesus, and it's Andrew who brings people to Jesus. We don't know what God's going to do. We know God has a plan. So when I started ministry at the age of 21, I had this desire to change the world. I mean, I was going to do all this stuff. I had all these great plans, and most young preacher boys have these great plans, what they were going to do. But I remember preaching a Sunday night in this church, and I delivered one of my average to above average sermons that I usually do. And as I'm preaching this sermon, I finish up, and this little lady comes up to me, and I'll never forget this. She says, "Ed, you're going to be the next Billy Graham." And I'm like, "Yeah, I am. I'm going to preach to thousands and thousands of teenagers around our world. I'm going to change the world." But you know what? That never happened. That's not who God called me to be. And I came to an understanding that my call was different. That I was never going to be a Peter or a Paul. But I knew this, that I could invest my life in the lives of people who would change the world. And in church, there are people that have ministered in this church, that grew up in this church, that God called the ministry out of this church, that are changing the world. We have people all over the world who have served in this church that God has called, and we have invested and ministered to them. God does what God does if we are obedient to him. And this is what Andrew did. He simply said, "I met this person who changed my life. I want you to meet him too." And so he goes out and he finds his brother and he says, "I found the Messiah." He simply says, "Look, come see this person that I've chosen to follow. I think you should follow him too." And I bet that he remembers this day for the rest of his life as he sees Peter come to become the leader in the early church. And he sees all the things that Peter did. I wonder if Andrew says, "Yeah, I introduced him to Jesus. I was the one that was there and I did." I don't think he ever did that, but he remembered this day for the rest of his life. You know, as we become followers of Jesus and as we impact people and as we share what Jesus did in our life, we never know that God may call, you know, a Peter out of somebody that we talk to. But we do know this, that as followers of Jesus, we just simply tell people about this God that changed our life and that can change your life as well. See, there are Peters in our world because there are Andrews in our world. People simply willing to obediently, passionately follow Jesus. And then in verse 43, we see something, man, completely different. It says, "The next day, Jesus leaves for Galilee, and he finds Philip." And really, the text reads here is he was seeking Philip. And so Jesus leaves, and he just doesn't happen to be just all of a sudden, there's Philip. But he's seeking. It sees here, there's an intentional act. Jesus wanted to go and find Philip, and scholars marvel at the efforts because, again, Philip, and he's just an average person. There's really nothing greatly significant about him. Why would Jesus make such an effort to go find him? Maybe he wants to show us his value in average people. I mean, it's encouraging for us to know that Jesus would go out of his way to actively seek somebody that, when we continue studying, doesn't seem to have the impact that other people have. But we know that not everybody can be a John or a Peter or a Paul, but God has purposes. Everyone can find a place in Jesus' service. And so Philip, he has the opportunity to get to know Jesus. And as he does, he goes and he finds Nathanael. And like Andrew, Philip identifies Jesus as the Messiah. We have found the one who Moses and the law and the prophets wrote about, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. He has this limited understanding of who Jesus is. He doesn't really fully understand the deity of Jesus, and he may not fully understand the virgin birth, but he knows that this man is different. He's the Messiah, and you need to come and meet him. He says he's the son of Joseph. And notice Nathanael's response. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Now, he wasn't really all that impressed with the discovery that Philip had made. There might have been some rivalry going back between these two towns, where Nathanael from Cana, a small town, and you have Nazareth. They didn't think very highly of each other. You know, maybe just had the oil bowl here a couple nights ago. You know, maybe you think, can anything really good come out of Kelly Walsh? I mean, really? I mean, can anything good come out of NC? I mean, really? Right? And so I can just see Nathanael maybe having this conversation. Can anything good come out of Cana? Maybe there's some jealousy here going on as he sees who Jesus was. I don't know what that looked like here, but there was something about it. There are different opinions about this town of Nazareth. Some scholars say, you know, it really wasn't a very good town. It was a place of vice, and it was a village the Romans had set up their headquarters in. There was a lot of sin and corruption there. And there are other scholars that say that's not really true. They disagree, and it says it was a place of good reputation. But either way, in any case, Nathanael didn't think very highly of Nazareth. But you notice Philip's response? He doesn't defend the town of Nazareth. He says, just come and see. Come and check it out. If he could just get Nathanael to Jesus, he knew that Jesus could do the rest. Man, what an interesting strategy. Hey, I don't have to argue everything that you disagree with. I just want to get you to consider Jesus. To just come to him. If you will just listen to what Jesus has to say, if you will just hear from him, we can trust that God will do the rest. And that is what happens here. See, a disciple of Jesus will have his life transformed, truly become a transformed person. But it's not us who does the transformation. Jesus transforms lives when we just choose to follow him, to commit that to him. And so we see this in the rest of this passage, beginning in verse 47. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said to him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit. Nathanael said to him, how do you know me? And Jesus answered and said to him, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Nathanael answered him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said to him, because I said I saw you, that you are under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these. And he said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, you will see the heavens open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Nathanael, another person in this list of not really important, significant people. We don't know much about him. The name Nathanael is only mentioned a couple times here in John 1 and in John 21, 2, where he's just listed with the other disciples. Here's a list of people. And hey, Nathanael is one of those people. He's never mentioned by name in Matthew, Mark, or Luke. Some identify him with Bartholomew, and that's likely. But even in that, we just see that name mentioned just a couple times. But Jesus proves that Nathanael's someone of worth, and he proves who he is to Nathanael. He says, behold, an Israelite indeed, whom there is no deceit. Before Philip called you, you were under the fig tree, and I saw you. And we don't really know what Jesus was referring to here. We don't really know what was Nathanael doing under that fig tree. What was happening there? We don't know, but you know who did know? Nathanael. He knew exactly what Jesus was talking about, and it had a great impact on him. A great impact. And he knew that this Jesus, This Jesus who we just met, it wasn't any ordinary man. He must be something great. He says, you are the Son of God, the King of Israel. He says, the Son of God. He depicts Jesus here as God and the King of Israel, that Jesus is the Messiah, recognizing who he was. And he expresses his faith in Jesus as his God and as his King. And Jesus recognizes his faith. He believed based on this little evidence. And Jesus says, look, you believed on so little, but you will see greater things. You choose to follow me because of what little you know about who I am. I will show you so much more. If you follow me, I have greater things than you can even imagine. Jesus says that I am the link between heaven and earth. I'm the point of contact between heaven and earth, and I'm going to reveal to you heavenly things. And here, Nathaniel, Bartholomew, all of these men that we have just met, they're going to see something far, far greater because they chose to follow Jesus. And then we jump back and we see this person of Peter. We went back and we kind of mentioned him just a little bit. Jesus talks about Peter and he calls him Cephas and says, I'm going to change it into Cephas. And this means the Greek name of Peter, which means rock. And it reveals that Peter one day would be this rock, this sturdy, dependable, and strong. But it's been many, many, many years from this point to Peter becomes that. As Peter becomes a follower of Jesus, someday he's going to be Peter the rock. In the meantime, we're going to see a lot of ups and downs in Peter's life. It appears at some points that he's anything but a rock. He's impulsive, he's volatile, he's unreliable at some points. But God has a way of changing individuals. God has a way of making us who he wants us to be. And this is what growing in a relationship with Jesus is all about. Somehow Peter goes from this point, becoming the leader of the early church. And God has plans for us if we follow him. Wherever we are on this journey, the question is, are we willing to be on this journey with Jesus? Are we willing to just follow him? I think we often get discouraged because we forget what our real purpose is. We forget that our real purpose is that we are called to Jesus. See, sometimes we get discouraged because we have all these other titles and things and responsibilities, and we forget that we're called to a person. We are called to a person, even in church circles that happens. Now, I'm the pastor at Boyd Avenue Baptist Church, and it's an honor to serve as your pastor. But my first calling isn't to be the pastor of this church. My first calling is to be a follower of Jesus. And I can only effectively pastor this church if I passionately follow Jesus. And it's likely that I will get discouraged in my role as a pastor if I'm not every day pursuing my following of Jesus. If I don't walk daily and follow him, I'm going to struggle. And this is true of me, and it's true of you. See, too often in life, we get discouraged on our journey of following. And I think a lot of it is because we lose sight of that focus. Even in doing ministry, sometimes we get so overwhelmed and burdened and struggle and say, I don't really know if I can do this anymore. It's because we start putting our sights on things and not on the person that we are following. It is all about him. So this morning, let me invite you to consider, where are you on this journey of following Jesus? See, this morning, maybe you're in a place where you don't really know Jesus. That you're in a place and you're here and you've heard this name, but you need to commit that I'm going to follow him. I'm going to give my life to him. I'm going to accept the gift that he gave us through his death and his burial and resurrection. And I'm going to commit my life to be a follower of Jesus. Maybe you're here this morning and you need to be reminded that Jesus has called you to walk with him, to love him, to trust him, and to follow him. This morning, maybe God is calling you to be a part of our church and to come and join our church and serve alongside of us. But it's not about becoming a member of Boyd Avenue Baptist Church. It's about pursuing Jesus and following Jesus. And if in following Jesus, Jesus wants to connect you with this fellowship of believers, you do that because you are following him. Maybe here this morning you know that God has purpose for your life that you're not following. God has called you to some ministry. And maybe this morning you need to commit that you're going to follow whatever ministry that is. But again, it's not about pursuing ministry. It's about pursuing and following Jesus. And when you do that, then you do the ministry that he's called you to because you are pursuing and following him. Any decision that we make in our relationship with Christ and our Christian life is all about this idea that Jesus calls us to follow him.
Than anything this world